1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we started there, we ended there last week, but I want to just pick it up here very quickly. Starting with first verse, though I speak with tongues of men and angels but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Now, we said last week, but I want to remind you, can I see Joel's? I don't see Joel's iPad. That helps me. So, this isn't it. No, that's mine. So, what we said, and we talked about Sunday, we talked Sunday about the power of speaking in tongues. Oh, Pastor, you're one of those crazy Pentecostal tongue-talking churches. Yeah, me, along with Peter, the apostle, and John, the apostle. Can you say him? Amen. And Mary, the mother. You know, Mary spoke in tongues. Was she there at the upper room in the book of Acts? Was she there? She was one of the 120, and the Bible says all those people, you know what, that it should be this one. Okay, do you know how to open it up and get it, or no?
No idea. You know what, let me just take care of it.
All right. So, all I'm saying is, again, and I'm not, listen, I love the church. There's so many good churches around. You know what I mean? But we need to be a biblical church, and I want to be as biblical as we can. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know what? That's part of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And some people will take this passage and say, see, Paul's saying that, you know what, tongues aren't important. That's not what he's saying. Here's what he's saying. Even if you are, even if you have these gifts, but if you're not walking in love, it's ridiculous. Amen? You know, Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, and Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world, you know what they do full-time now? Well, Warren Buffett still invests a little bit. But Bill Gates, you know what? He really doesn't do any work. Well, he works. But you know what his main work is? To give money away. That's the main thing. But how many know if his motivation isn't right, God says, all this stuff, and I'm telling you what, it's not going to be of a benefit. So love is really, really, really important to God. Next, guys, can we go to, you're already verse 2. And though I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Next verse. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. You know what I mean? Yeah, but this person gave in. You know what? But Warren Buffett gave all this money. Well, I don't know what's motivating him. I will assume that it's love. Why? Because beloved, love believes all things. Love believes the best in people, not the worst in people. Amen? How many of sometimes we can get into the mindset of just figuring out, I know why they did that. I know why. No, we don't know why. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't know why. You don't know why. You think you know. You don't know why. You don't know why they did it. But you ask, I don't know why. Especially with spouses. Amen. I don't know why you did that. You don't know nothing. Amen. No, you don't know anything. Have you ever been misunderstood? Have you ever done the right thing and somebody judged you and you knew your motive was right? How did that feel? Well, don't do it to someone else. Yeah, but I know. Yeah, but you don't know. And so we want to just let God be the judge. Amen? Somebody say, let God be the judge. What's our point? Our point is where we give people the benefit of the doubt. We think the best in people. That's what love does. Somebody say, love is an action.
Love is an action.
Okay. Let's go to 1 John up here on the screen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Look what it says. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. All lies up here. We have been taught that love is how you feel. Remember when you were first dating your spouse, your husband, and your wife? I remember back in the day, I'd get a text from Tamara. Remember way back, I'm dating myself. Remember the back in the day where they used to have these things called pagers? Some of you young people, look it up on the internet. It's amazing, okay? They didn't have cell phones? No cell phone. No cell phone? That what? You know, Pastor, did you live with the dinosaurs or something? I can't even believe there was ever a day without cell phones. Yeah, there was a day without cell phones. And I remember when pagers came out, that was a big deal. What was a pager? A pager... How many know a pager was pretty useless, actually? You know what I mean? Really? You know what I mean? So you'd get a page, and you could sometimes recognize the number, and then you know what? Like if I recognize that's Richard's number, I'd go, oh, look, Richard's calling me. Can't call him back. Doesn't do any good, but Richard's calling me. So what you do is you'd have to find this thing. They called them landlines, okay? Again, I don't know. You look it up on the internet. They're called landlines, and you'd have to find a landline. Or these real, real ancient things, they called them payphones. What is a payphone? Anyway, yeah. But I remember looking at my pager and recognize, oh my goodness, Tamara's calling me. Now, how many know I love y'all, but you know what? If you called me, I won't get excited like if it was Tamara's calling me. Can you say amen? And that's fine and that's good. But we have been taught wrongly that love is that feeling. And love is not that feeling. Love is something that you do. When you feel like it, listen to me, and when you don't feel like it. Love is purposeful. Love is a decision. Love is something that you do way more than how you feel. But Satan has perverted what love is. And so, you know what? There is such non-commitment. You know what? People get married and they make a commitment. But then stuff happens. How many know life happens? You know what? How many know in the midst of raising three kids and having dogs and, you know what, and having... You know what? A home and having the responsibility of going to work and all the things that happen in life. How many know the feelings can subside? Hello? And the phone call comes and it's like, oh man, it's Tamara. Well, I'm just so busy. And we justify it, and we, you know what, and then, you know what, and then we'll listen to some, you know what, crazy people on the radio. How many know there's some crazy songs on the radio with people who don't know spiritually they're dead? They don't know the covenant of God. You know, you should never miss church. Why? Because you need to be trained and trained and trained and trained and trained. You need constantly to be renewing your mind to the Word of God. You ought to read your Bible every day. Why? Because we have to change our thinking. If we think right, then we'll speak right. If we speak right, then we'll do right. And if we do right, then we will reap what we sow. Now, you're going to reap what you sow no matter what. But if you think wrong, then you're going to speak wrong, then you're going to do wrong, and then you're going to reap what you sow. Either way, you're going to reap what you sow. Can somebody say amen to this? Is somebody old enough that they recognize you're going to reap what you sow? I said, is somebody old enough they recognize, you know, you're all smart enough to recognize you can't sow to the flesh and reap good things, right? Y'all old enough to recognize that, right? Remember when you used to think you could get away with stuff? Come on, is somebody here tonight? How many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, you can't get away with nothing? Come on. No. No. So it's really important for us to understand that when God is talking about how he loved us, he's not talking about a feeling. He's talking about something he did. Oh, this is really good. Look at it. In this, the love of God is manifest. You know what? How many know it's nice to see the love of God? How many know it's nice? You know what? Tamara can anytime look down on her finger and see the love of Drew. Come on, say amen to this. You know what? And I'm not saying, man, if you know what, if you could only whatever you could afford, you know what I mean? That's understandable. You know what I mean? But you might be smart to give your fiance something more than a ring that you got out of the Cracker Jacks box. Amen. He said, Pastor, why in the world would you spend, would you spend so much money on that ring that you bought Tamara? Here's why. In this, the love of Drew was manifest. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. How many know what that was? Here's what it was. It was a lot of hours that I worked in the grocery store. And I had an okay job when I worked in the grocery store. But how many know there are a lot of people making a lot more money than me? Amen. What did I do? I saved. Why? Because I wanted her to be able to see my love. Can you say amen? You know what? When I wake up in the morning, you know what? She can taste my love. How does she taste it? I go to the kitchen, and I make her coffee, and I put the, I don't give her peanut butter jelly. She don't like peanut butter. And you know what? I make her coffee just how she likes it. Amen. I pay attention, and I say, here you go, honey. In this, I don't tell her this, but I could say, in this is the manifestation of my love. See, in Jesus, we can see that God loved us. Amen? Don't you tell me tonight nobody loves me. Don't you believe that? That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen? That's a lie from the pit of hell. God loves you. God loves you so, so much. And he loves you so much, and you cannot. I mean, you can listen to Satan as he lies. Nobody loves me. You know what? Have your little pity party if you want. But understand, listen to me, somebody, but understand where that's coming from. Understand who's trying to stir that up. That's Satan. And you can get in a pity party and get depressed and focus on the negative. The Bible doesn't tell you to focus on the negative. It says focus on that which is good. How many know if all you did was just thank God of all the good things that you had in your life, you'd be a happy camper. Amen. And the best thing that we have is the fact that Jesus Christ loved us so much. We're not talking about some counterfeit, some phone, some, oh, I feel in love with you today and tomorrow I don't. No, we're talking about someone who's so committed that having one son, he sent his son to die on a cross for you and I. That's how the love of God's manifest. Does this make sense? In this, the love of God is manifest towards us. Now, I'm teaching you this because, listen to me, because I did that on purpose. I did that to entertain. I'm teaching this because that's how we need to show our love to other people. Amen? Amen. We had 30 people. How many showed up at church workday? Raise your hand if you showed up. Be proud. Raise your hand real high. Can we, real high. Can we give these people a hand right now? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? Those people were not talking about their love for Christ. They manifest their love for Christ. In that, they showed up and gave their time and effort and energy. How many know? How many know everybody's busy? Yeah. Amen. How many know everyone's got, you know, how many know how many know everyone's got money to spend on something else? But when you spend your time, when you decide, you know what, that you are going to come and serve God for the time that you do, wherever it is. And many of you, for whatever reason, you couldn't come to church work day. I'm not ripping on you for that. You serve in other places, and I appreciate that. But what I'm saying is, I'm just using an example of them. They showed how much they love God. Does that make sense? Some of you, you don't come to service on Sunday. You say, Pastor, there was a day when we first came over. Now we couldn't even do it. And I knew that would happen. I knew we would grow where we couldn't even do it. But there was a time when we first came over here that we could have all had one come in one service. And let's go back to one 10 o'clock service. We'll all be together. It'll be packed. It'll be awesome. Somebody said that to me. I said, no. They said, no, why not? There's plenty of seats. You know, why don't you do it? Here's why not. Because I don't want to teach people to come to one service. I want to teach people to come to two services, amen? And you sit for one service, and you relax, and you enjoy, and you receive, and then you stay. What do? You go over to the kids' ministry, and you get trained as a kids' worker, and you bless somebody else, amen? Amen. How many have kids? Raise your hand if you have kids. Okay. So let me tell you what happens. Let me tell you what happens on Sunday. We take all your kids and we put them all in this room, okay? And we give them popcorn and soda pop and Twinkies and then we lock the door. And we all run over here, and we worship God together, and just hope and pray that they all behave themselves. How many know? Listen very carefully. Listen, that's not true, okay? Listen very carefully. How many know that's not what happens? You know that doesn't happen. Why? Because you go over there, and you see competent kids workers and many of the people that you see right around here, they're serving. What are they doing? They came and they sat, but they didn't go home. After they were done, they served you. And vice versa. We have other people that come, and the first thing they do, they don't come in here. The first thing they do is they serve. And I believe, listen to me, I believe that everyone should be doing that. Why? Because we're to act like Jesus. And Jesus, listen, Jesus, who was in heaven, how many know it was a change of scenery when I went from living in Newport Beach to working in Baldwin Park? Amen? Come on, how many know there was a little difference? I'm not saying I didn't love Baldwin Park. I'm not saying you don't want any of it. I'm just saying, you know what? little difference. How many know that's nothing compared to Jesus living in heaven, coming down to this earth? How many know big difference? Why is he doing that? Here's why he's doing that. Because he loved us. And the Bible says we're supposed to act like Jesus. We're supposed to be followers of Christ. So I want to, in a practical, everybody say practical way. Oh, I love kids. Oh, I love church. Well, can we see your love? Because what the Bible calls us to do is to be followers of God. And God showed us how much he loved us. So what I want to do is I want to create a church where everyone, we have a model. This is the model. We sit and we serve. Can we say amen to this? Amen. And you know what? And it wasn't original to me. I had a good friend, and he had a very large church, and he started another church in Michigan. And the first day of their service, the first day that they opened up this church, he had two services. And I said, why are you doing that? That don't even make any sense. Because if all the people showed up, they couldn't even fill half of the church. Not even half of the church. And I said, why do you do that? He says, here's why. Because I want to create an atmosphere that people from day one understand. There is an expectation for you not to just come to church, but for you to come and for you to serve. Amen? Can I teach you something? Can I teach you something? Here's what I've noticed. Look at your neighbor, say, you are a sponge. And here's what I've noticed. At some point in time, how many know if you have a sponge? How many know at some point in time you got a big spill? You get a big sponge and you start to soak up all the water. But there's too much water for you to soak it up. What do you have to do with the sponge? You got to wring it out. And when you wring it out, now what can the sponge do? So look at your neighbor and say, you are the sponge. So what are you talking about? Here's what happens. I've seen this so many times. And here's what I'm warning you about. You, all of us, we need to, to me, it's not so much what you're doing, it's that you're doing it. Amen. Amen. So I don't care if you wash the van or clean the kitchen or clean the bathroom. How many know it don't make any difference whether you're cleaning the kitchen or cleaning the bathrooms? Well, I like cleaning the bathrooms. Praise God. We'll put you on bathroom detail. Amen. I like cleaning the kitchen. Praise God. We'll put you in cleaning the kitchen. You know, I like jumping on the dumpster over and over and over again. I tell the interns, hey, you know what? Go out to the trash can and act like it's a trampoline. Amen. It's not very springy. I know, but just act like it's a trampoline, okay? Here's my point. What I've noticed is, people are like this. They'll come and they'll love the service. They're like, oh, Pastor, worship was so awesome. Your teaching was so great. It was so good. But if all they do is receive, I don't know when it's going to be, 1 year, 2 year, 1 month, 4 months, 8 months. But all they do is come and receive. At some point in time, I can't pour anything more into them. Why? Because they weren't designed just to receive. Everyone is designed to receive and then to be wrung out and to give. See? And then what happens is then you come back and you're like, oh, man. Pastor, that was so awesome what you taught. Jesus was the example of God's manifest love to us. That was awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I heard that already. You know, Pastor been talking about unity. We did a series on unity recently on Wednesday. We spent like 10 weeks. Pastor been talking about unity. How many ways can he talk about unity? You know. Other people say, it was awesome. Every week was great. What's the difference? Here's the difference. Some people, their sponge is so filled that they haven't wrung out their sponge. And that's what you were designed to do. So as a church, we want to have two services. And thank God now we need to have two services. But even when we didn't need to have two services, watch this, it's deep. We needed to have two services. Yes. Does that make sense? All right, are you learning something? All right, let's stay in John. 1 John chapter 2. Watch this. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. Wow. How many know this is part of the Bible? Amen. Watch this. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected. There's this perfection that is taking place in you. How do I perfect the love of God? Well, have you ever see a baby when they first begin to walk? And they're like, ooh. And then they get like that, and then, you know, of course they fall down, you know, hundreds of times. And they watch this. And they take three steps, and grandma and grandpa act like they, you know, climb the Empire State Building, or, you know what I mean? Whoa, you know what I mean? Whoa, you know what I mean? Act like it's a big deal. You know what? Can I tell you what? That's what God does to you. And you just take three steps, but how many know three steps is better than what you were crawling? Amen? You know what? You know, to your spouse, can you just shut up? Do you have to have the last word? Do you have to be right? Can you for 30 seconds think, you know what? Watch this. They have a point. Can you get out of your shoes to be empathetic? You know what they found is one of the keys to having a successful marriage? You know what they found? Empathy. That instead of defending yourself and thinking about how you're going to defend yourself and the reason why they're wrong, if you'll stop doing that and just have empathy, start to put yourself in their shoes, and you can just say, I never thought of it that way. You know what? Yeah, I was kind of being a little jerky, wasn't I? But as long as you're defending yourself, you never see it that way. Man, I was being a little snotty. Man, I was being, there's other words that we could use. Right? But we're talking about love, so. Okay. See, what's happening? The love of God is being perfected in you. But watch it. How do you do it? You have to act on that. You have to make a decision. Amen? See, this is not, I love bowling, I never go bowling. I love golfing, I never go golfing. See, does it make any sense? Don't make any sense. See, the love of God is manifest in a certain way. Love acts a certain way. And one of the things that love does is, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now, hope does not just go, guys, go to, can you go to the verse before this? Watch this. Romans chapter 5, verse 4. Ooh. Somebody rang. Okay, never mind. Is that what, 4?
Three.
Go to 3. That's all right, go to 5. Now, hope does not disappoint because, oh, it's probably 6. I'm sorry. But now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, that's six, by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. Listen. Go back to hope doesn't disappoint. You know, God is hopeful that you're going to start walking in love. And listen, and you are. Just like that little baby is like, ooh, they can barely walk. But how many know you can see that little baby and in 6 months they're running all over the church? Is this not true? That's what God's saying. Listen. Wait a minute. This hope that I have over you, it doesn't disappoint. Here's why. Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is being poured out. How many have grown a little bit since you've been a Christian? How many would say, I walk in love better than I used to walk in love? How many would say, I forgive better than I used to forgive? How many would say, you're more generous than you used to be generous? What is all this? Here's what it is. It's the love of God being poured out in your hearts. And God says, listen. I'm going to watch you, and you're going to get just like that little baby. You're going to get better, and you're going to get better, and you're going to better, and you're not going to disappoint me. And here's why. Because I haven't left you like an orphan. I gave you what you need to walk in love. What do you need to walk in love? You need the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Can you say amen? Have you ever, you know, remember when you were a kid, you used to watch cartoons? Some of you watch cartoons still, but anyway. And you watch cartoons, and that cat is about to get the mouse, and then all of a sudden, bing! You know, it's a little angel cat. It says, don't do that. And then the little devil cat goes, bing! And goes, ooh, that's a good dinner right now. Do you ever see that in cartoons? That happens to you all the time. And because of the love of God, that's been poured out, the Holy Spirit been poured into your hearts, guess what? You're choosing the right thing more than you chose before. Amen. Are you learning something? All right, Galatians chapter 5. Watch this. Look at your neighbor and say, love does something. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? What's the first thing? Love. Where's the Holy Spirit? What did we just learn? The Holy Spirit is poured out into what? Into your hearts. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Wait a minute. I saw long-suffering in another passage of Scripture. Yeah, we looked it up last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love suffers long. You ever been in the kitchen and somebody is in front of the refrigerator and you have your hot dog and it's got the relish on it, it's got the mustard on it, you know what? All you need is the ketchup, and somebody left the ketchup in the fridge. Amen? But the person in front of the fridge is just looking. And they're looking over here and they're looking over there and they're looking in the back. And they're looking at, and you're thinking, what in the world? Watch this. And you used to freak out on them. You used to say something sharp and something mean and something snotty. What do you do now? Now you just wait there. Now, some of you are waiting there and bing, bing. Hello? Okay. But before, you wouldn't even wait there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you, watch this, have developed enough where you're good with it. It don't make any difference. They can be there 5 minutes. You're like, I'm going to get to it. I'm not going to push them away. I'm going to let them get what they want, and I'm just going to be patient. Some of you aren't that developed yet. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. You're going to get there. But watch this. Watch this. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. So if the love of God is being poured out in you, guess what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. There's going to be fruit. The fruit's going to be love. The fruit's going to be joy. The fruit's going to be peace. The fruit's going to be long-suffering. The fruit's going to be kindness. The fruit's going to be goodness. The fruit's going to be faithfulness. Listen to me. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And listen to me. And according to John, John says, if those things aren't happening, you better evaluate. Listen to me. Whether you're even born again or not. I'm just telling you what the Word says, amen? The Bible says you better figure it out. Because John says, if those things aren't going on in your life, you know what? How many ever see somebody in front of der Wiener Schnitzel? And they're dressed up like a hot dog, amen? Come on, have you ever seen this guy? Dressed up like a hot dog, and he's, you know what, you know, like hot dog has hands, but for whatever reason, that hot dog, and he's telling you, come on in, you know, get a hot dog. How many know, this is deep, how many know, that's not a big hot dog waving at you? Come on, this is deep, real spiritual. How many, that is not a hot dog waving at you. That is a guy dressed up as a hot dog. Listen. There are people who think they're saved. And here's what Jesus is going to say when he's going to separate. How many know there's going to date? And he's going to separate the wheat from the goats. Now listen very carefully. The wheat from the wheat from the goats. The sheep from the goats. Now listen to me very carefully. God is not going to say, he's not going to say, you're a goat. You're a sheep. I make you a goat. I make you a sheep. He's not going to ever do that. All he's going to do is go, you got a blue shirt on. You got a gray shirt on. You got a gray hoodie. Amen. Oh, you have a green jacket. Ooh, you have a black top. That's all he's going to do. He is not going to tell you who you are. The only thing he's going to do is declare what he sees. This is a good, I hope you're learning something. That's all he's going to do. I say, Pastor, what's your point? My point is, the Bible says that God's going to, that you're going to be known by your fruit. All he's going to do is go, you're a sheep. To somebody else, you're a goat. And when they start arguing with him, here's what he's going to say. Listen, I didn't make this up. Depart from me, you doers of iniquity. It's not what you have on. It's not that you went to church. It's that the love of God wasn't inside you. And so because of that, you are not manifesting any of these. You say, Pastor, but I still struggle with these things. I do too. But how many of you recognize you're doing better than you were doing last year? Come on. Why? Here's why. Because the love of God, you know what? Because the Holy Spirit has been poured out into your hearts. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and joy and peace and longsuffering and kindness. You're kinder than you used to be. You're gooder. You're gooder than you used to be. I know that's not a proper English, but you are. You're more faithful. Amen. Does this make sense? You're full of more joy, more peace. You're chill. You never used to be chill. You were spastic. Now you're chill. And you can still be spastic, but you're less spastic. Amen. How many are less spastic than you used to be? Amen. Shayla and I and Tamara did a video on cool words that we used to use. You know what I mean? And now I'm, you know, words that, you know, in the, you know, when I was younger, you know, we used to use, you know, and I didn't use this one, but we used to call people spaz, you know what I mean? Spaz. Well, they're a spaz, amen? That meant they freaked out all the time. They were a spaz, amen? Some of you used to be spazzes, amen? How many remember when you were a spaz? You see, nobody raised their hand. You don't even want to confess that. How many are less of a spaz than you were? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Are you learning something? Watch this. We'll just go through this. Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are watch this, are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Crucified the flesh. You know what that means? It means when you feel like saying something, you don't. You don't. Why? Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And so what you're not doing is you're not doing whatever you want to do. You used to do whatever you want to do. Now you're doing what? Watch this. Now you're doing what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Amen? And what does your flesh do? Your flesh acts like that little kid in the grocery store. When the mom tells him you can't have the, you know what, the, you know, whatever, the M&Ms. And, you know, he spazzes out. You used to be that way. Where anything that your flesh want, that's what you'd go. But you're now learning that your flesh isn't in control. The Holy Spirit inside you that's been poured out into you is now in control. And you're manifesting the love of God is being perfected in you. Are you catching this? But what you have to do, you say, I have a part of this. What you have to do is you have to, and those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. How many know your flesh? How many know? How many ever been on a diet? Raise your hand if you've ever been on a diet. Okay. You know what? Let's see, I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is a good example. So there's this donut shop near our house. And I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I've been eating peanut and jelly sandwiches all my life. And so we go down to the donut shop. It's, you know, something we had something going on that morning. I thought, you know what? Kids got to get up early. I'm going to go down to the donut shop and buy them some donuts. You know what I mean? So when they wake up, they'll have donuts. Okay. So that's what I did. I go down there with Tyler. Tyler sees a, think about this, a peanut butter and jelly glazed filled donut. Did you order? No. Tyler got that. He ate 3 bites and he said, Dad, I don't really want it. You have it. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the flesh with its passions and desires. And what I should have done is I should have said, you know what? Get behind me, Satan. Self-control. That's what I should have done. But see, here's what I'm saying. We've got to crucify our flesh. We've got to be the ones who say, no. And it's not that you won't still have those areas in your life, but you've got to control that. And so what did you do? I thought, well, you know what, I'll try it. And I ate 1 bite, and it was over. You know, it was gone. You know what I mean? So the other day, Tamara calls me, and she says, where are you? You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm driving to the church. She said, where are you? I said, I'm kind of by, yeah, no. She called me after. But she's smart, you know what I mean? How many know Tamara's smart? So, you know, I left the house at a certain time, and she said, where are you? I said, I'm by the Shell station. And she's like, what are you driving, like 3 miles an hour? No. Instead of turning right and going to the church, I turned left and went down to the donut shop. Amen. Why are you going down there? I'm going down there to get my own jelly-filled glazed donuts. You know what? when she was talking to me, I had to wipe her with a jelly and peanut butter away from my. Okay. All I'm saying is, the Bible says what we have to do is we have to crucify the flesh. See, you got saved. You know, how many have things in your body you don't like? You know, your ears stick out, or, you know, you feel like, you know what? You see somebody else, you're like, man, they have such nice hair, or whatever. I mean, you're like that in some way. Come on, everyone. All of us are that way some way. Okay. Most of us are that way some way. You know what I mean? When you got saved, if you had ears that stuck out, how many know you still got ears that stick out? whatever you know, how many know if you were short, I wish I was just a little bit taller. How many know you got saved, you're still short? Amen. You feel like you're too tall, you're still tall. Whatever it was, you got saved, but how many know your flesh didn't get saved? And yes, there are some things after we get saved, and it just fades away real quick. How many know there's other things that stick around a little bit? What do you need to do? Here's what you need to do. You need to crucify your flesh. You know, say, no, that's how I am, but that's not who I'm going to, that's not who I identify. That's who I was. But that's a choice that you make. And what you have to do is you have to be mindful of the Holy Spirit that's been poured out, because that love is in there. That joy is in there. That peace is in there. That all that good stuff is in there. You just got to tell your flesh, no, no, no. We ain't eating that donut today. Amen? Right? We ain't drinking that today. Amen? We ain't smoking that today. Amen? We're not sleeping around today. Amen? We're not going off on our husband today because he didn't empty the trash. Come on, you can say amen to this. Amen. You're not going after, you know, your wife because she burnt the toast or whatever, right? All right. Did you learn something? Everybody say, I walk in love. I manifest love. In what I do. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, that you are our teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. And so, Father, help us this week to recognize the Holy Spirit is being poured out into us. May we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.